I'm glad that we can have a talk with our Heavenly Father. His ear is open to our cry. I want to take just a moment and mention by way of announcement that there is no service here tonight as we normally have because of Father's Day. And hope everyone will be able to enjoy extra time with family and friends on this special day. And also at this point, take a moment to thank not only Brother DeLong, the men's ministry director, but he had a great team of people who helped him. And I'm not even sure who all. Toby, I know, did decor, and we mentioned others that have participated here. But let's give them a great hand for taking part in this service today and making it special for our dads. We're going to have a tribute at this time by Brother Adam Dennis, and we're very grateful that Adam is a part of this church. Was it the late 90s you came as a young college student to join APC, went to UMSL, and met one of our young ladies, married Sarah Shannon. Now they have three beautiful daughters, and I like it that over the years some of his own immediate family, mom and dad, who's going on to be with the Lord now, his father and other family members have been a part of this. We love this man. Would you give Brother Adam Dennis a great hand as he comes for this tribute?
He was too kind. Well, thank you very much for an opportunity to speak, Brother Buddy. I do count it a privilege, and I'm very thankful. He wanted me to talk because I have a little bit of a, I guess, non-traditional situation in that I had a father and I had a dad, and they were two different people. And one of these men helped bring me into the world. He was my source of life, and the other nurtured and taught me how to become a man. My father, Vernon Dennis Sr., he was killed on a workplace accident when I was 5 years old. I don't know much about him, but the memories that I do have, I cherish. My dad, Jerry Fenimore, he came into my life when I was 6 years old, and he lovingly embraced me as a son of his own. Our theme, as Brother Buddy talked about, is dad talks. So, I don't know about you, but when I was younger, the idea of getting a talking to from your dad wasn't something that I wanted, right? It's usually something that was going to have a stern ending. Or I would have a stern ending afterwards, either one of you. I want to share just a few thoughts of dad talks that I received that were not so bad. So some dad talks from Vernon Dennis. So like I'd mentioned previously, my father died when I was 5 years old, and it was a tragedy. He woke up one morning, got ready to work just like it was a normal day, but he didn't know that that was the last day that he would go to work. That was the last day that he would say his final goodbye to his wife and his children. But it was. He didn't know that it would be his final opportunity to give instruction or direction or even an opportunity to provide some type of reassurance that everything would be okay and it would be all right. But it was. It was the final opportunity. I don't really remember having any conversations with my father, and I'm sure they took place. But I do have a few memories of him that I want to share about how he spoke into my life. So one of my earliest memories of my father was him taking me to the altar to be prayed for a healing in a little UPC church in Arbord, Missouri. At the time, I had a really bad earache, and it was hurting so bad. And I can remember being held in his arms, being walked down to the altar and prayed for, had oil anointed on me, and receiving a healing from an earache that night. Now, that may not sound like a dad talk to you, but it was for me. It was that dad talk that he highlighted the scripture in Isaiah where it says, he was wounded for our transgressions, and by his stripes we are healed. He spoke to me through that. I remember the dad talk of being faithful in church. Many of my childhood memories stem around being in church. I remember sleeping under the pew, playing afterwards with the kids in service. But I also remember those services, the worship services, hearing those old songs from the songbook, watching the preacher share the gospel emphatically. That one sister that just said, Jesus, 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 Jesus. I don't know how she said it that fast, but she did the whole service basically. You know, and that was a dad talk for me. He instilled something about faithfulness and going to church. He instilled something about how that it's important to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. You know, these were those talks that I received from him. Now, the dad talks I received from Jerry Fenimore were a little bit different. My dad was literally someone that you did not forget. Once you met him, you were impacted. You may not have liked it. You may not have been welcoming to the exchange you received with him, but his strong personality took over, and you definitely did not forget him. It may have been positive, it may have been negative, but you remember Jerry Fenimore, if you ever met him. He was a man that you knew when he arrived in church, because as soon as he cracked those doors, we were in pre-service prayer, and you would hear him laughing through the hallways. He'd walk in, his whisper was about like this, right? You guys remember the guy. It's kind of quiet now, but he taught me many things. One of the things he taught me was that it's important to provide for your family. My dad had many jobs over his life, and he was my dad for a little bit over 30 years, and during that time, he instilled in me that it was important to provide for your family. Sarah often will laugh whenever we talk about things and say, oh yeah, my dad used to do that, because she's like, how many jobs did he have? I don't really know, but he had a lot. He was a business owner, he was a hard worker, and a provider. He provided for us so that we didn't have to worry. My dad only disciplined me once in my entire life that we had together. I was playing outside one day, and this was a dad talk, all right? I was playing outside one day, and I'd done something wrong. I don't know what it was, but I did something wrong. And while I was playing, I saw my dad walking across the yard with the belt. And I knew that something was wrong immediately. Although it didn't inhibit my playing, now that I'm thinking about it. And he walked up to me, and in my innocent voice as a child, I said, what's wrong? And he said, I don't know, but your mother said I have to come out here and whoop you, and I can't stop until you cry. So you better make it a good one, because she's watching. So he grabbed one arm with his hand, and he started whipping, and I just turned on the tears. And then he stopped, kind of looked over his shoulder, and I went back to playing. It was over. He taught me that his love is unconditional, and that even when I did do something wrong, he had to discipline me. He taught me how to be a leader in the home, even if he was scared of mom sometimes and had to do what she said to do. I don't think that I can begin to remember all the details of the dad talks that I had with my dad over the years, but a few of those kind of seep through. I remember driving in a car with him and him helping me with my speech for the 7th grade class elections. I was running for president, and he taught me, he said, you need to use a good word in your speech, something that they'll remember. And he had me throw in the word nigh. I had no idea what that meant, neither did any of the 7th graders in there, but it means near, I learned, but yeah. So I threw in the word nigh. We'd sit around the table and just drink cups of coffee, and I don't know what he said, but I know he spoke into my life during those times. He'd help me paint a new room, you know, a room at the house we just bought, or fix a broken water heater, or change a light switch. And the whole time, I knew that if I could get Dad alone, that he would spill the beans on everything that he had heard in the last time we talked. And he would tell me everything that was going on with Mom and everybody else. So those are some good Dad talks. He was preparing me for job interviews. Every time I talked to him about this opportunity, he would tell me, you got to be confident. You got to sell yourself. You're definitely worth more money, you know. He showed me that it was okay to get up and walk away from a car salesman whenever they're trying to sell you a car, because they really wanted you there more than you wanted to be there. Sorry, Brother Jeff. And it's okay to play hardball with that. He was good at giving advice. I'm not sure he knew that he was good at giving advice, but he was good at just listening and letting you talk to him. And he was confident about the advice, even if it was maybe not anything he knew about. And I remember the last conversation I had with my dad. That was my final dad talk. I didn't realize it at the time, but he was giving me another dad talk. His final dad talk was on preparation for the kingdom of heaven. I called to check on him in the hospital, and we did our usual joke back and forth. And Then it turned serious. He told me he was ready to go to heaven. And he knew that it was going to be all okay. And that, you know what? It's okay to be a little bit nervous about how it's going to feel to die. But there was a confidence in his voice that he knew his eternal election was sure, even at death's door. He showed me that I can have assurance that there is a home prepared for me where there's no more hurting, there's no more pain, and the Lamb truly is the light. I've had two men in my life lead me and guide me. One I call Father, and the other I call Dad. Both were essential in giving me dad talks, regardless of whether I remember the details or not. I have a Heavenly Father, too. He talks to me. He shows me through His Word that He has to correct me when I get off track. He has to bring that belt into the yard and whoop me every once in a while. He provides for me for my every need, just like my dad did. He loves me unconditionally and is willing to lay down His life for me. He's our source, not only of this life, like my father was, but He's the source of hope for a life to come, like my dad taught me. The more I think about it, the more I'm convinced that it's not just His Word that He uses to give us these dad talks, but it was my father, and it was my dad that He used to talk to me. He used my dad's to give me dad talks. Men of APC, Brother Buddy was reading this part of my notes. Men of APC, whether you're a biological father or a father in the gospel to your child, being a father involves love and leadership. Talk with your children. Share with them. Invest in them. Lead them. Love them. And show them.
Thank you, Adam. If you don't mind standing just for a moment, I think it would be very fitting if we would take just a short time to honor dads that have gone on and no longer are with you. So if you don't mind bowing your head in silence just for a few seconds. Thank you. And you may be seated. I know that, as Adam has demonstrated, fathers that are no longer with you still have a way of speaking, don't they? And their influence outlives them, and we're very blessed for that. We have another tribute. This comes from a young lady. She is the firstborn child of Chris and Kelly Hollis, Gabriella, and we want her to come now and offer her tribute.
Welcome to Father's Day 2018. This year's Father's Day theme is Dad Talks, so I would like to talk about what my dad says or talks about. My dad can say funny, sad, mad, emotional things, like, I'm his girl or I'm a sleepyhead. He says, I need a vacation, and then asks me, did you find your suitcase? He asks me if I need anything when I'm sick or if I'm okay. He asks me if I'm ready and excited to go to camp. One time, my brother asked my dad, why does everybody laugh when we talk about the planet Uranus? Now we know why it's funny. My dad doesn't really love to explain awkward things that we ask, but come on, who doesn't? Just a couple of years ago, I started getting really scared at night. My dad would tell me that there's not going to be any bad guys in our house. He also said if a bad guy were to come in our house, he would protect me. At night, he protects me by laying in the loft, which is just at the top of the stairs before you get to my room. He lays there until I go to sleep, and by helping me have him lock the doors. Sometimes, if I'm really lucky, he'll tell me that he's going to take me on a date. It will just be me and him chilling. Like just a couple Tuesdays ago, I found a little note on my bed that said, do you want to go on a date on a Friday night? Of course, I told him yes. Our date was Friday, June 8th. We went to the old spaghetti factory. Dad didn't have a lot of things to say, but maybe he did have a lot on his mind. That's okay, though. I didn't mind the quiet. I still had a lot of fun. After dinner, we ate some delicious ice cream and then headed down to Keener Plaza. We ended up having a water fight in the splash pad. And yes, in case you're wondering, I won. We also took a few selfies and then headed back home. So now, since I'm basically 10, July 15th to be exact, and he's going to be 40 next year, he talks about slightly different things, like you cannot sleep with me anymore, you're too old. Mom says I'm never too old to sleep in their bed, but I try not to side with either one and only show up in their bed every once in a while. Dad and I both sleep in on Saturday mornings, sometimes till like 9, 9:30. Now that's pretty late for my family. When I woke up too early, he says, go back to sleep. But when I wake up really late, he says, why do you get up so late, sleepyhead? I think he's just saying that to be funny. When I ask him if he could get me a cup of coffee, he usually says, gross, coffee. But even though he doesn't like coffee, I still love him. Dad is really chatty in the mornings, but again, I still love him. I just realized maybe my dad's an early morning chatter is the reason I ask for coffee. He is pretty silly most of the time, but I'm sure if he means to be, or if it's natural talent, either way, it's funny to laugh at him. Oh, I mean with him. Dad does silly things, too. You should have seen him on his way. He put his athletic pants on and danced around like a ballerina. Oh, wait, I probably shouldn't talk too much about that. Sorry, Dad. Oh, well. But I should follow up with that pretty manly my dad is. So let's see. He kills gross bugs, goes fishing, plays ball, carries all my heavy stuff, and doesn't mind to get dirty. So don't let that ballerina thing mislead you to believe he's not tough. Actually, if he will dance around like a ballerina, it's just to make us laugh. I think that means he's got a pretty big deaf heart that loves us pretty much. My dad does not have an awful lot to say, but all the time he has things. My favorite would have to be, I love you, girl. And just so you know, I love you too. Happy Father's Day.
Thank you, Gabriella. That doesn't melt your heart. I don't know what will. I noticed you had an iPad. Here I am up with paper. What's going on? Something's not right here. We appreciate that very much. We're going to have at this time a dramatic reading by Amber Williford, and then after a little time of worship, our Father's Day message is going to be brought to us by Brother Mike McGuire II. We're thankful for this young man. He's grown up in the church, and we appreciate him answering the call of God on his life. He has a wonderful family, wife, and children, and we're glad that you're a part of APC, and we know we're going to be blessed by the word of the Lord and also this dramatic reading.
Quit. Give up. You're beaten. They shout at me and plead. There's just too much against you now. This time, you can't succeed. And as I start to hang my head in front of failure's face, my downward fall is broken by the memory of a race. And hope refills my weakened will as I recall that scene, for just the thought of that short race rejuvenates my being. A children's race, young girls, young women, how I remember well. Excitement, sure, but also fear. It wasn't hard to tell. They all lined up so full of hope. Each thought to win that race or tie for first, or if not that, at least take second place. And fathers watched from off the side, each cheering for his own. And each girl hoped to show her dad that she would be the one. The whistle blew, and off they went, young hearts and hopes afire. To win, to be the hero there was each young girl's desire. And one girl in particular, whose dad was in the crowd, was running near the lead and thought, my dad will be so proud. But as she speeded down the field across a shallow dip, the little girl who thought to win lost her step and slipped. trying hard to catch herself. Her hands flew out to brace, and amid the laughter of the crowd, she fell flat on her face. So down she fell, and with her hope, she couldn't win it now. Embarrassed, sad, she only wished to disappear somehow. But as she fell, her dad stood up and showed his anxious face, which to the girl so clearly said, "Get up and win the race." She quickly rose. No damage done. Behind a bit, that's all. And she ran with all her mind and might to make up for her fall. So anxious to restore herself, to catch up and to win. Her mind went faster than her legs, and she slipped and fell again. She wished that she had quit before with only one disgrace. "I'm hopeless as a runner now. I shouldn't try to race." But in the laughing crowd, she searched and found her father's face, that steady look which said again, "Get up and win the race." So she jumped up to try again, 10 yards behind the last. "If I'm to gain those yards," she thought, "I gotta run real fast." Exerting everything she had, she regained 8, then 10, but trying so hard to catch the lead, she slipped and fell again. Defeat. She lay there silently, a tear fell from her eye. "There's no sense running anymore. 3 strikes, I'm out. Why try?" The will to rise had disappeared. All hope had fled away. So far behind, so error prone, a loser all the way. "I've lost, so what's the use?" she thought. "I'll live with my disgrace." But then she thought about her dad, who soon she'd have to face. "Get up," an echo sounded low. "Get up and take your place. You are not meant for failure here. Get up and win the race. With borrowed will, get up," it said. "You haven't lost at all. For winning is no more than this, to rise each time you fall." So up she rose to win once more. And with a new commit, she resolved that win or lose, at least she wouldn't quit. So far behind the others now, the most she'd ever been, but still, she gave it all she had and ran as though to win. 3 times she'd fallen stumbling. 3 times she rose again, too far behind to hope to win, but she still ran to the end. They cheered the winning runner as she crossed the line first place, head high and proud and happy, no falling, no disgrace. But when the fallen youngster crossed the line last place, the crowd gave her the greater cheer for finishing the race. And even though she came in last with head bowed low, unproud, you'd have thought she'd won that race to listen to the crowd. And to her dad, she sadly said, "I didn't do so well." "To me, you won," her father said. "You rose each time you fell." So now, when life seems dark and hard and difficult to face, the memory of that little girl helps me in my race. For all of life is like that race, with ups and downs and all. But all you have to do to win is rise each time you fall. Quit. Give up. "You're beaten," they still shout in my face. But another voice within me says, "Get up and win the race."
Aren't you thankful for a Heavenly Father who will not let you give up? If you are, would you lift your hand right now? We're going to sing another worship chorus before Brother Michael McGuire comes. Why don't
just stand with me right now and lift your hands and welcome Him. Lord, we thank You for Your presence and Your Spirit that's here today. We give You great praise. Hallelujah. We worship You and we honor You. We magnify Your great name. Hallelujah. Are you thankful for your Heavenly Father that's in this place here this morning? Amen, amen. You may be seated. What a wonderful service we've had already. Enjoyed every part of it. I would maybe like to have special prayer for Brother Reaver before we leave today. He's going to need it. Now, Brother Buddy told me this term. I haven't heard it before. He said old and bold. And no, I said something to him, and then he told me that term. But Pastor, maybe we just suspend him for a week or two since you did get that gift card, you know. Welcome to Father's Day 2018, and it's an honor to be here with you today. These are some funny things I came across concerning Dad. You can tell what was the best year of your dad's life because they seem to freeze that clothing style and keep on wearing it. And you know what? My wife tells me all the time, Michael, you're not 20 anymore. Why are you wearing that? And I guess that was my favorite year of life, was 20 years old. Here are some talks that children have with Dad. Dad, I didn't do it. Translation, it has not been conclusively proven that I did do it. Dad, Johnny is such a no-good rotten liar. Meaning, expect a call from Johnny's mom and dad just very shortly. Mom said it was okay, Dad. Translation is, I'm going to ask Mom as soon as you say yes. Lastly, I agree with this one. This is advice for Dad on Father's Day. Dad, it's your one and only day of the year. Get as much out of it as you possibly can. On a serious note, I do honor all of the dads here today. Happy Father's Day to you. And especially, since I've got the microphone, I honor my dad today. Happy Father's Day to you. Most of you know it's been a testing 9 months that we have gone through, my family, with my dad, but we're still making memories every day. I love him more today than I ever have before. The theme today is Dad Talks, and I'm going to stay within that subject today about the importance of dads speaking into their children. And I won't hold you long because I know that I'm the only thing standing between you and lunch. And where's Jared Arnold? He's out in the back. He would appreciate that. Since it's Father's Day, I am going to direct this message towards the dads and challenge the dads. However, it will be applicable to all of the mothers here as well. First off, the first point I want to talk about is, dads, speak and teach the truths of God to your children. Deuteronomy 6:2 says that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may have increased mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in that land that flows with milk and honey. Here we go. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Here we go. Verse 7. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. In the first four chapters of Deuteronomy, Moses recaps and summarizes the history of Israel. Later in the chapter four, he begins to introduce the law. And he says, hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your ears this day, that ye may learn them, that ye may keep them, and that ye may do them. Moses begins by telling the commandments of God and goes into detail after these verses. If you have time, you can read that in Deuteronomy. Here are just a few. He said, fear the Lord your God. Reverence him, as we heard a wonderful message last Sunday morning from our pastor. Reverence the Lord. Then he says, the Lord, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. And he said, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. Then he says, thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Can I stop there and say that it is the parent's responsibility, even more specifically the father and the leader of the home, to teach our children the commandments and statutes and judgments of the Lord. Dads, we must teach them with our words and with our example what pleases God and what displeases God. He said, talk of them when thou sittest in thine house. It is great that we have a beautiful church building like we do here. And I am glad that we have dynamic Sunday school teachers that teach our children in Sunday school. And we have that, and we must have that. But the truths of God must be first taught in the home by the parents. And Sunday school is icing on the cake. I don't know about you, but I want to teach my kids the Word of God and the commandments of God and what God loves and what pleases Him and what doesn't please Him. They've got to learn that first in the home, and then they'll add to that in church. He said, talk of them when thou walkest by the way. The truths of God are the same at home or when we are out and about. Don't be ashamed of God and let down our beliefs when you walk out of the four walls of the church or the home. Dads, we are leading by example. What we do and what we say at home cannot contradict what we do and what we say at church. We've got to be the same person at home as we are walking in the streets, the same person at church. We've got to lead by example. And then thirdly, he said, talk of them when you lay down and when you rise up. Teach these truths, the truths of God, your children, when you get up in the morning, when you go to bed at night. Basically, let them be your DNA. Let these truths of God be a part of who you are. Whether it's in the morning or in the evening, all day long, let the commandments and truths of God be part of who you are and what you believe. Make sure that they are part of your kids' lives. Ephesians 6 and 1. Austin, listen up. Children, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. All the dads say amen. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. Verse 4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Now, I know that I've heard this taught and I've read that, and when I get to that part, I usually stop. It says, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. But look what the second part says. But bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Literally, nourish them in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Dads, our kids are going to be fed one way or another. Whether Hollywood does it, whether their teachers in school or in college does it, whether their friends do it, they're going to be fed one way or another. We must be the ones that are instilling and nourishing them with the truth of the Word of God and His commandments. Many homes in America are suffering from the phantom father. The father who is not there. And even when he is there, he's really not there. The home doesn't need just another man in the house. It needs a father that is present and actively involved in their kid's life. I'll stop there and say this. I'm not just talking about you dads, the kids that live in your house. That's important. But when your kids move out of your house, it's still important to be that father, that dad, that person that speaks into their life. In fact, yesterday my dad and I were working on a deck. We were staying in a deck, and just out of the blue, he was giving me some instruction, just helping me out, even in the fathering aspect of life, actually. And it's funny, I'm up here speaking on Father's Day, and he said, if you do this, this will go a little better. This will go a little easier. Dad, don't stop speaking into your kid's life, no matter how old they are. And kids, never, never push away your dad and say, he doesn't know what he's talking about. Receive it with open arms. Speak into me all the wisdom and understanding that you can give me. One of the names used to describe God is Jehovah Shammah, the God who is there. The God who is there. I don't know about you, but I want my life to mirror that of my Heavenly Father. I want to be involved and present in the development of my kid's life. I want to be known as a father who is there and thick and thin and bad and good times. He was a dad that was always there. And I'll stop to say this. If you don't currently have a dad in your life for one reason or another, we do have a heavenly father who is Jehovah Shammah. He is a God who is there and he is your father. In both portions of Scripture, Moses and Paul said we must intentionally speak and teach and instruct and nourish our children in the ways and the truths of God. Secondly and lastly, we must speak into our kids. Dads, we must speak life into our kids. Proverbs 18 and 21 says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue. They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." Dads, we have the ability to bring death or life to our children by our words. When our kids are young, they're developing mentally and physically and emotionally and spiritually. During this time, we have the opportunity to build and strengthen and encourage positive growth in these areas of their life. By positive and uplifting words, we are speaking life into them. At the same time, with negative and abusive and critical words, we have the power to crush them and to destroy them. Have you ever been out and about and heard a parent, maybe it was a bad day they were having, but just really, really give it to their kid? And I'm not talking correcting. I'm talking maybe to the point of abusive. You're no good for nothing. You just cringe at that. I cringe at that. Because the Word of God says that death and life are in the power of the tongue. We have the ability to speak death or life into our kids. I don't ever want to be known as the dad that's so critical and so abusive, that's always saying negative things to my kid, but I want to speak life to them. I want to encourage them. I want to tell them that they are good. They are great. They're going to do great things. Amen? I know and understand that there is a time and place for discipline. And I don't spare the rod at my house. Where's Austin? He's not around here? There he is. Austin, you listen. I want to be a father who speaks the truth in love. I want to speak life and see my kids grow and flourish. I want to affirm the callings of God that God has placed in their lives. I want to support their ministries. I want to come alongside their anointings. I want to speak positive and uplifting and life-building words to them. Dads, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and we must choose how we use our words. Would you stand with me? I've had some dad talks. They put dad talks hunting up there. I like that. I've had some dad talks. I started preaching when I was age 15. I remember the first time, it was a sermonette. Pastor, Brother Jason Kopecky, asked me to speak at 13th and Gravoy. It was up in the front, I think, off of one of these here. I'm pretty sure my message was heaven or hell, the very first one I preached. Heaven or hell. I didn't stop, you know. Straightforward. I remember my dad, when I first started preaching, I think I've shared this with you before, but when I first started preaching, he said, "Son," he said, "when you preach, use a lot of scripture." He said, "because sometimes our words can fail us. Sometimes we don't say everything right." He said, "but when you put a lot of word in there, there is power in the Word of God, and there is going to be a supernatural and transformation that takes place when the Word of God is there." Many times as I've stood behind the pulpit in the last 15 years, I've walked away vowing that I probably wouldn't return because of maybe the presentation that I had done that day. But it never failed that my dad would tell me, son, did a great job. Son, I like this part and this part and this part and this part of your message. Son, you're anointed. Son, I believe in your calling. My mom spoke these things into my life as well, but I'm focusing on dad today. Son, God's using you in the gift of faith. Son, I believe in your anointing. And times where I wanted to give up and stop and just quit, it was that dad's voice speaking life into my life, saying, keep on going, boy. You're okay. Everything's going to be all right. God's got you in his hand. Everything is under his control. And those words of encouragement would come upon me, and I'd feel like a new person. Listen to me, dads. At 30 years old, he can still say words like that to me. And something happens to me. Something emotionally and spiritually begins to happen to me that I love when he speaks life into my life at 30 years old. Dads, do not forget about the power of your words. You have the ability to speak death. I don't think you're going to do that. You have the ability to speak life into your kid's life. I want to ask all of the dads, would you come up front real quick? We're going to just have a time of prayer. Would you come up here to the front of this altar area? Why don't we give these dads a hand? Thank you, dads, for your sacrifice, your leadership. At this time, our pastor is going to say a prayer over the dads.
And would you that remain in the congregation, would you just also join in this prayer with your faith and with your words? Because these gentlemen that stand before us really do have an awesome responsibility as assigned by God. We all realize as we stand here, we need his help for the wisdom, for guidance that's needed for salvation of our families. You know, really, a lot hangs on God's help. In fact, everything hangs on God's help, but so much hangs on prayers like you and I are about to pray right now. God's going to hear it. God's going to respond to it. And we're going to receive it as dads. So all over this house, and dads, join in this prayer to receive what God wants to give us today. Now, Lord, our Father, we are so thankful to you for your covering and for your guidance and for your direction. Each of us dads stand here knowing that it is by your goodness, your creation, your grace, your salvation, your love, that we are even able to be alive naturally and spiritually. Thank you for the blessing and the opportunity, oh God, that we have to associate with our family, the relationships you've given to us. Oh, so I thank you, oh Lord, I thank you for that. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you now, Lord. I pray that you would give us words, oh Lord. Help us to example and to speak, that our lives talk of holiness and righteousness, that our words and our behavior speak volumes, oh God. I pray that you would anoint our literal verbal words, that they would be words of life, oh hallelujah. Hallelujah, I feel life in this place right now. Spiritual life and eternal life, oh God. Oh, Lord, help us to speak eternal words. That is, words that will have an eternal impact, oh God. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, church, for this prayer. Would you just pray on just another short little while here? That's it, dads. Receive it right now in the name of the Lord. I feel that spirit of receptivity, God.
Hallelujah. You hear the call of our families, the prayers of wives and mothers and children right now, friends and associates. You're hearing it, oh God. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, God. Hallelujah. My life is in you by way of my spirit. I am in you. And so I will inspire and I will direct that words that you speak shall be my words, and they shall align with my will, and they will help to align other lives that you are responsible for with my will. Allow my spirit to work within you, to behave, to speak, to show active faith. And I will never disappoint you nor leave you, but I will support you in your role by my power and by my spirit. I have equipped you. Not only are you a physical father, but you are also a father who has spiritual influence. And I will multiply and make abundant the influence you already have, and I'm going to increase it so that whatever needs that your family has, those needs will be met, not only because they feel my spirit, but because they hear my words through you, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's thank God for his help to us. Thank you for your help to us, O God. Thank you for your help to us, O God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Aren't you glad we have the help of the Lord? And I know that we are blessed to have a great and wonderful Heavenly Father that we have a great relationship with. And I thank God for my natural father, for the strong and happy home that he established, for the foundation of righteousness that he has stood for, and for the continuing legacy that the Lord is allowing him to continue to write. Dad, I love you and appreciate you very much. Thank you, Brother DeLong and team, for presenting and providing. Thank you, Brother Reaver, for just being Brother Reaver and helping us to have a great day. My ace in the pocket is, he always says, if he picks on you, it means he likes you. So I feel loved today. Seriously, thank you, Brother Reaver, and thanks to all of our dads and wives, moms, family members, and church family members. God bless you. I thank God for the wonderful family of the Lord. God has been very good to us, and he's touched us today. And thank you, Brother McGuire, for a word from God for us. Our dad talked to us today. Why don't we talk back to our dad in the right way right now, Lord? We want to thank you. Hallelujah. Give him praise. That's right. Say some words of praise. We exalt you, Lord. You're greater than any other. You're the God that can do the miraculous. You're the God that loves us. We feel safety and security knowing that you are our Father. We thank you today and we praise you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Once again, thank you, guests, for being with us here at APC. There is no